Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
I made this comment earlier today to someone I was speaking with. I think I blinked my eyes and January is half over. Does anyone feel like this? We haven't even got all of our totes put back on shelves yet of our Christmas decorations. And we're nearly a 12th of the way through this year. Kids are back in school. Most colleges are back in session. And we're looking to settle back into some kind of rhythm of life, you know? Some of us are looking at that same old rhythm. It seems like it feels the same. Some of us are faced with a brand new rhythm. Loss of a loved one, change of kind of our environment. Maybe some new member of your family has joined and invading some of your space. But we all live with the same amount of time in our day, yet with all this wonderful technology at our hands, it's supposed to make more time available for us, right? And yet it seems that we're all living with less. At least it feels like that for me at times. And so what we're going to talk about today is this, as we continue in this three-part series called Margin, is this idea of schedules, time, how we manage it, God's idea of how we are to manage it. And so last week we started this series looking at finances, and that was kind of a broader picture than just simple money. And next week we're going to conclude this series by looking at relationships and how we are to relate with one another. But this week we just want to pause and we want to talk about time. If that's all right. If you came in today, received a bulletin, on the inside of that bulletin, there should be a blue insert, a place and some space for you to take some notes, a place for you to listen to the Holy Spirit's voice in your heart today. Because as I share, and I say this every Sunday, I have the opportunity of standing here. As I've prepared this message, I know that I've prepared it as best as I can and as diligently as I can. But the Spirit of God knows you so intimately well. He knows your schedule. He knows where you struggle in these things. He knows where you succeed in these things. And I believe the Holy Spirit is going to breathe words of encouragement, but also maybe some words of challenge to you as well. And so we want to create some space where you can follow along, take some notes, jot some ideas down that you hear and feel whispered in your soul. Last Sunday, I mentioned to you, I guess more like I confessed to you, that I probably should have been the last person preaching a message on finance. That's an area of our life in our home where we have struggled, where we've struggled to understand, and where I feel like I've let God down often in terms of creating a life of financial margin in order to respond to the work He wants to do through me. And today, as we talk about time, this may be a day of feeling no different in terms of feeling like a person who stands here with any kind of credibility. As I have thought about these things over the last couple of weeks, and as I certainly studied and wrote this week, I began to be reminded again of just how I'm not really good at this. Not because I'm overworked, not because I'm overstressed. That's not what I'm trying to convey at all. As a matter of fact, if I were to articulate my schedule, I would say that I am under-efficient, if that makes sense. A lot of distractions in life. So I feel like I'm under-efficient. But what I've realized is that my life could use a lot of margin, a little bit more discipline in managing time. Anybody else already feeling that way, maybe sitting here today, that this is an area where maybe you just need to listen to the Word of God? So as a reminder from last week as we began this series, a quick definition of this word margin: the edge or border of something, an amount by which a thing is won or falls short. It's the gap, right? And so throughout the series, we're going to use this definition by Dr. Richard Swenson, who said this: margin is the space between our load and our limits. It's the amount allowed beyond that which is needed, and it is something held in reserve for contingencies or unanticipated situations. Margin is the gap between rest and exhaustion, the space between breathing freely and suffocating. And there are some times where margin is something that we can control, where we can create, and there are other times, external circumstances, that really robs us of margin. And so we understand that we walk in that tension today. When I was thinking about margin and personal schedule, I was thinking of it in terms of this time we need time we need to build into avoiding hurry or rush. If I were to define my life sometimes, I would say that I feel hurried or rushed. Margin in time, though, pushes back against this idea of dealing with the urgent and demands that we live a life of slow and rest, and most importantly, connection with others. Margin in our calendars demands efficiency and planning and preparation and foresight, all of which I am not naturally gifted at. None of it. And that's why I think I've decided that I struggle in this area. Again, not because there's so many things pushing me, but because I feel like I don't often see the ability to plan and prepare as well. You've probably heard the quote that too often in life, we deal too much with the urgent and not enough with the important. And I think too many of us walk in that way. We fail to invest our time in what's most important. Maybe that's a relationship, family members, or something like that. And what instead we deal with all of the time is what feels to be the most urgent, what's screaming the loudest. But oftentimes it is not the most important. So I wonder, are you okay with your pastor's confessions of struggling in this? Are you comfortable with a guy that stands here week after week and you go, what a mess? I hope you are. I hope you are. On your insert today, I ask you to rate your daily schedule. We'll turn those in at the end of service so I can see how you're doing with this. See, you're great. Just kidding. This is a time for you to just really stop and think about your daily life, how you feel like you manage your schedule. Do you feel like, man, my schedule is a pleasure? Or do you feel overwhelmed? Do you feel like, man, I feel almost maxed out? Or do you feel like you've got a really good handle on things? As you think about this, remember, the idea of margin takes us from a place between our load, our expectations, what is reasonable, and considers that space to that point of limit, that point of breakdown, that point where I can take it no more. And we want to create space here so that we're able to function well. So much of my thinking on this topic took me right back to the rhythms of margin that I believe were established by God in Genesis chapter 2, right at the very beginning of time. So this is what was recorded at the very beginning of Genesis 2. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work, and God blessed the seventh day, declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. In the very beginning of the story of God, the story of creation, God inserts this incredible rhythm. Work for 6 days, rest for one. The establishment of the day, of the week, of the seasons, of a year, that all began on day one. But the establishment of a sacred rhythm, the establishment of margin, began on day seven. As God says, okay, I'm putting this aside now, and I'm sitting back and I'm resting. I think what God acknowledges here is that it's good to rest. It's good to look back. It's good to smile. You'll recognize that on every day at the end of creation, God looked back at what he had done and said, man, that is good. It's good for us to establish that pattern on a regular basis. But I think what Sabbath can often help us do is actually to also look forward. So on day number seven, the first margin was established as God established, blessed, and set apart that day. Sabbath was created. As the story of God continues, however, there is no mention of Sabbath for quite some time. In my mind, and I've grown up in the church, I kind of thought Sabbath was created at the very beginning of creation, and that's what humanity followed. But there is no recorded story or moment where God initiates Sabbath for several hundred years. You go through the story of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but there is no mention of the people finding a rhythm of rest. Joseph appears not to be worried about any kind of seventh-day rest at all. So if you're familiar with the story and the journey of God's people, you know that at this point, that the family of Jacob, now known as Israel, makes residence in the land of Egypt, And eventually they're forced into becoming slaves. And they stay like that for over 400 years. The Hebrews, as they're called at this time, endured challenging moments as their slave masters drove them harder and harder and harder to build mighty structures in their land. All they knew for 10 generations was work. Day after day, brick after brick, whip after cracking whip. Work, work, work. That was their job. That was their existence. And then God provided for them, brings Moses back into the story, and they are delivered out of Egypt. And during this time of deliverance, they are also being reintroduced to this God of their ancestors, who many of them, now over a million strong, had probably stopped believing in. Many of them had only heard God as the story of old, but really had never seen God move. Suddenly, they see miracle after miracle. They walk on dry land, which was once a sea. They're seeing a pillar of fire guide them at night and a pillar of smoke by day. These people are suddenly being reintroduced to a God that they had never really known, that they had only heard of. And they're brought out into this wilderness scene. These slaves are suddenly becoming quite powerful, because in their numbers, they're shifting somewhat from a simple family group or a neighborhood, and they're forming into a mighty nation. And they walk. They walked out of Egypt. They walked for days and days and days. They walked for an entire month, and they began to grumble just a little bit. You know, it's at this moment in the story that I think, why doesn't God just teach these people a lesson? Why do they have to complain all the time? Don't they see what God did for them? But you know what? It's pretty easy for us to walk. We put on some nice comfy socks. You know, I bought socks yesterday for my college kid. Just 6 pairs of socks. Cost me $26. That's not in my notes. But anyways, we put on our socks, we get on our air cushioned shoes, and we hit the road, and it's easy. These people have been walking for a month, and it's been not comfortable. It's been quite miserable, to the point where what they knew what was miserable back in Egypt suddenly felt comfortable to them as they reflected on their life before leaving Egypt. What they're now experiencing in this wilderness walking caused them to think Egypt felt like a luxury hotel, and so they began to grumble. This is what the story is captured in Exodus 16. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you've brought us into this wilderness to starve us all to death. Just one verse of scripture right there just makes you so happy. This puts a smile on your face. But when I thought about their situation, I thought, you know what? I like to eat. I mean, I know that's obvious, but I like to eat. I don't necessarily like to walk around like they were experiencing. I probably would have grumbled much sooner than 1 month in. But they grumbled. And so God responds by telling Moses, hey, I am going to rain down food for your people. Each day they will have exactly what they need. But on the sixth day, God says, on the sixth day, I need them to gather enough for 2 days' worth. Tell them every other day they need to gather just what they need for 1 day. But on the sixth day, they need to collect twice as much. This food that God was going to rain down was being described as being kind of flaky. It would form on the ground kind of as the evening dew would come or the morning dew. Scripture says that it had the texture that was similar to a coriander seed, and the Israelites would harvest it, and they would grind it, and they would turn it into bread. Scripture says that it tasted like a honey wafer. This stuff was so different, so unique, something that they had never seen, that it was given this name, manna, which literally means, what is it? I thought that was kind of interesting in discovering that this week. It reminded me of an Abbott and Costello skit. What's for dinner? What is it? I asked first. Who's on second? Right? Like, what is it was what they called this food. I've always dreamt of starting a restaurant called Anywhere or I Don't Care. Because whenever you ask your loved one, where do you want to go eat? Anywhere. Or sometimes they say, I don't care. And I thought, well, that's a perfect name for a restaurant. Right? Their food was called, what is it? It was manna. It would form mysteriously on the ground as they slept, and they would wake up in the morning, they would harvest, and they had to harvest just the right amount for them to have for that one day. Because God refused to allow these people to live in abundance. God is always teaching us a lifestyle of dependence upon Him and not abundance of ourselves. A lesson I think that we're still trying to grasp and learn. So if they were greedy and gathered more than they needed, the manna would actually overnight turn nasty. Except miraculously, if they gathered twice their normal amount on the sixth day, which was Friday, the manna would stay good and fresh for the Sabbath day, which is our Saturday. Now here's what I find fascinating. God creates in 6 days, according to our powerful traditions and powerful story of Genesis, and rests on the seventh day. He blessed that day, and He made that day holy. Every Hebrew has grown up hearing that story of creation. But not until this moment did God command them to follow His lead. It made me question, why now? He commands them to follow this lead. He challenges them with this idea of harvesting for six, resting for one. Let's look how it played out. So the people of Israel did as they were told. Some gathered a lot, some only a little. But when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. Each family had just what it needed. Then Moses told them, "Do not keep any of it until morning." But some of them didn't listen and kept it until morning. But by then it was full of maggots and had a terrible smell, and Moses was very angry with them. See, even when God provides exactly what we need, sometimes it's not enough in our mind. And sometimes He turns those blessings into an awful smell. Could it be that what God is teaching them now is that this family of Abraham is finally becoming this mighty nation that God had promised so many generations before? And in order for this family to become a holy nation, they would have to take on the characteristics of a holy God. Could it be that God did not take time, or didn't force them into this until the time was just right, as they were becoming this nation of God? I want you to understand this. God did not take time to rest on the seventh day because He was tired from creation. He wasn't exhausted. He didn't say, "Thank myself it's Saturday," if you know where I'm going with that. God rested because He wanted to take time to enjoy what He had created. It was part of His plan all along to design, to work, to create, but also to establish a rhythm of enjoyment within the calendar, and that could only happen by establishing margin. The Creator of the universe created margin in His calendar. I find that something that we should probably pay attention to, and I think this is the first lesson we learn in understanding what God is doing through the gift of manna. All they've known to this point is Egypt. All the people of God have known to this point is work and slavery and making and laying bricks. Now, in this moment in their history, they're to become a holy people, but they feel like they're about to starve. They're losing hope. And God says, "Let me teach you a lesson about me. Those Egyptians were cruel, but I am good. Those Egyptians were demanding and demoralizing, but I am caring and desire to be close to you. Those Egyptians only cared about what you would do for them, but I only care about what I will do for you. Let me provide for you. Trust in me and I will bless you." Create this margin in your normal weekly routine to remember that I worked for 6 days and rested, so shall you. This is a memorial for recognizing my plan all along to bless you and to not set this day apart, but to set you apart as a holy people. In just a few weeks from this moment where God begins this process of feeding the Israelites with manna, Moses will come down from Mount Sinai with 10 commandments, and we will see that the Sabbath remains pretty important. It's number 4. Remember to observe the Sabbath day and make it holy by resting, by dedicating it to God. Set this day apart. Make it different. In other words, I think that God is challenging the people to establish a rhythm that's different from the world, and in doing so, take a deeper or a closer step, rather, to the image and character and nature of who God really is. Sabbath. Rhythm. Rest. Enjoyment. Now, over time, the religious leaders within the Jewish faith added a lot of incredible burdens to this idea of Sabbath. The Bible generally gives a few requirements to Sabbath. Don't travel, don't build a fire, which meant, you know, no cooking, and don't make anyone else do that either. But by the time of Jesus, there were all kinds of crazy things that were listed in the Talmud in which were eliminated from daily life on Sabbath. Crazy things. This Talmud was the Jewish code that listed all these, what they called mitzvahs, or their duties. The Gospels all mark multiple times when Jesus did not live up to the Pharisees' expectations within their Sabbath behavior, or Sabbath expectations. Because Jesus was still more concerned about the true nature of Sabbath than their added mitzvahs, their added duties to this concept. Here's one great example. It comes from Mark chapter 2. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, why are they breaking the law, by harvesting grain on the Sabbath?" And Jesus said to them, "Haven't you ever read in the Scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God during the days when Abiathar was the high priest. He broke the law, by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests were allowed to eat. He also gave some to his companions." Verse 27, "Then Jesus said to them, 'The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people, and not the people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath.'" Jesus and his disciples were not breaking the law by breaking these heads of grain and eating them. In fact, the farmers of Jesus' day were following the encouragement of Leviticus 19 and Deuteronomy 23, which tells them to leave the outer edge of their fields unharvested so that those who are traveling or the poor could come and find something to eat. This was a part of their routine. But the Pharisees interpreted their behavior as one that was harvesting, even though they were just simply eating. And Jesus, I kind of read between the lines in the story and think that Jesus had a smiling smirk on his face the whole time. Like, seriously, you're going to complain about this of all things? You can do better than that, Pharisees, really? Haven't you read the Scripture when David, and this was recorded in 1 Samuel 21, asked for food while he was being chased for his life from King Saul? And he went into the sacred space, and he asked the priest if there was any food, and he said, "I have none except what I just took off the altar and replaced it with fresh bread." This bread had been sitting in the Holy of Holies for a week, and he offered this bread to David and his companions. Now, I find this interesting. David is being chased by the evil King Saul, and we flash forward to Jesus being asked this question, Jesus being chased by these Pharisees. I think in a way, Jesus is also telling us a story, a comparison here between he and David. Like, listen, this happened before. Some of you don't get it. Some of you never will. But this is not what Sabbath was created for. We were not created to follow the rules of Sabbath. Sabbath was created for us to enjoy. Sabbath is a gift. And it was created by God to to offer it to his children. Way back at that very beginning in Exodus where we were earlier, where God is teaching them to harvest for 6 days and rest on the Sabbath, where he's introducing this idea of Sabbath and manna, there's this passage that really sets the tone for me. The Lord asked Moses, "How long will these people refuse to obey my commands and instructions?" Verse 29, and I put it in italicized here on your screen. That's just me doing that because I think these words are powerful for us to understand the role of Sabbath. They must realize that the Sabbath is the Lord's gift to you. That is why he gives you a 2-day supply on the 6th day. So there will be enough for 2 days. On the Sabbath day, you must each stay in your place. Do not go out and pick up food on the 7th day. So the people did not gather any food on the 7th day. They learned their lesson. The Sabbath, margin in your schedule, is the Lord's gift to you. It was not necessarily designed to be a particular day, in my opinion, and in my interpretation of Scripture, especially in the New Testament, where Sabbath is rarely spoken of in these terms. More importantly, I believe Sabbath is a rhythm of living that allows space in your life for self-care. If Sabbath had to be limited to a particular day, there would be a huge debate. Is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? Pastors would certainly struggle because when we only work on the Sabbath, like one day a week, you know? This is a huge debate. And if you think I'm serious on that, please know that I'm just joking. But too many of us are running around like the world continuing to spin on its axis is dependent upon our hectic schedules and lifestyle. Sorry, there's bigger things at play. Here's what I hope you can remember from today. Margin is not something that just happens in your schedule, in your life, in your day-to-day tasks. You have to fight for it by ruthlessly eliminating hurry from life. Margin is difficult. There are a lot of things vying for our attention. And in the time I have remaining, which is slipping by, I just want to offer you a couple of essential elements that I think are important as you try to eliminate hurry and create margin and space in your life to be able to experience what I believe to be the real meaning of Sabbath. Because again, I recognize that many of you have schedules and you're caring for elderly loved ones and dealing with life circumstances that are external. And you're looking at me like, I have no control over my schedule. And that may be very well true. Some of us, though, are just bad at it. And we allow ourselves to get pressured and we say yes to everything and we're just tired, because we don't allow this space in our life. But what are some essential elements to experiencing the kind of Sabbath that God desires for us? Here's what I think are two really essential elements. I mean, everybody's Sabbath can look different, but I think these two are essential elements. Number one, time in God's Word. And number two, time in prayer. Time in God's Word and time in prayer. We're all busy, but we have to carve margin in our lives to establish a routine of looking into God's eyes, to seeing His face, to sharing our worries and our concerns and our blessings with Him, and listening for His voice. Prayer is not just one-directional conversation. Prayer also involves listening. I know my teacher spouse loves summer sabbatical, time away from her classroom. Teachers all said, amen. She can get up in the summer. She can walk. She can read Scripture. Tammy loves to journal, which takes hours. It allows her to pray. This rhythm in her life aligns her soul. I can say it no other way. That rhythm aligns her soul. So during the rush of the school year, those goals are sometimes very difficult to maintain. Very difficult to achieve because all the external pressures that come with teaching and working, and I'm not just trying to elevate teachers again, I did that last week, but any job, those external pressures cause us and many of us to just struggle in finding time to live within margin that allows us to take a break and even breathe. But here's what I find fascinating. Jesus may have harvested on the Sabbath, but he also retreated to find time to be alone after moments of blessing and healing many people. He never identified this rhythm to be a part of the Sabbath, but I think there's no other way to look at it. Jesus is establishing a routine of work and blessing and ministry, but then he follows it oftentimes with times of being alone and solitary and rest and focus, Sabbath. And if Jesus needed to do this, friends, then how much more desperately do we? Another way to look at this, and the school systems have used these terms, you need to consider what fills you up and what drains you. Bucket fillers and bucket stealers. I've got some fillers. I love organizing chaos into structure. I got crazy this week and built some shelves in a closet because I just couldn't handle it anymore. And I walk in the closet every once in a while and just feel organization. My life just feels good. Something that fills me is sports, various kinds, watching high school, middle school sports, or even just college and professional sports. My kids fill my bucket. I love working in the yard some, and that's been kind of been pushed to the side lately. You know what I really love? I love shoveling the driveway before anybody drives over it. I do a happy dance whenever I get that done. Anybody else? Like, no tire marks. Yes! Neighbors are wondering what I'm doing out in the driveway. Got my shovel. But there are things that drain me and my schedule. Someone driving over the snow before I shovel it. That'll drain me. Folding laundry. Ugh. I'll wash and dry all day long because the machines do that. But the humans got to fold it. And I don't like that part of the job. You know a big drain for me? Dog hair on my socks. Nasty. I look at that and just feel dirty all over. It just drains me. I'm just being genuine. Finding margin in your schedule. Establishing routine in life is about discovering what drains you, what fills you, and putting you in a path of being filled. Finding margin in your schedule, finding rhythm in your life as God has ordained us to do, involves spending time with Him. In His Word, and in prayer. Pastor Steve is going to come and sing, and we're going to reflect on this idea of what it means for us to be put under the direction of Sabbath. To be people who understand that God is a God of rhythm and order and structure, and that He's asking you today, is life spinning out of control for you? Do you feel like you're just a tumbleweed being tossed around by the wind and the pressures of the day? Or do you need to establish some rhythms in your life where you can really experience His presence in a deep and meaningful way? The idea of Sabbath was not for a particular day and for a particular set of rules. The idea of Sabbath was to establish a rhythm in life where we would constantly be reminded of the Creator of the ends of the earth, who has a beautiful plan for you, who spoke of you even in His Word, and who is reaching out to you in love. Because the Sabbath is a gift given to you. You were not made to fulfill some set of demands. How is God speaking to you today? Would you stand with me as I pray? Lord, speak to our hearts today. Even as we pray this prayer through this song, God, I pray that You will give us hope and a plan for a future that involves connecting deeply with You. I ask that in Jesus' name.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.